Just open your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis chapter 3. For one to know their need of a physician, one must first know that they are sick. Could you say that's pretty true? I'm usually pretty stubborn about going to a doctor. I've usually got to be pretty sick, pretty desperate before I'll get and go to the doctors. But when I get to that point, boy, I know I need something, medications or something. You got to know that you're sick before you go to see a doctor. For one to know their need of a deliverer, one must understand they are in need of being delivered from something. My title for today's message is My Deliverer. All mankind are born into the bondage of sin. We sin because it's our very nature. We are sinners. This is why it's natural to lie. It comes to us by nature. You say, I've never lied? Well, that is a lie, for we come from our mother's womb speaking lies, and that's God's word. What that means is that if any time we take the truth and stretch it out a little bit, or if we take the truth and we hold something back from it, turning the truth into something else. You see, you don't just have to stand and say, no, I did not take the cookies out of that cookie jar, Mom. Yeah, we know that's a lie, right? It's not just that. If you take something and say, my fish was this big when it was only this big, then you've lied. Or if you tell something like our politicians are saying now, and you hold a whole bunch of stuff out of it, you've turned whatever it is you're saying into a lie. It's no longer the truth. Well, to deny the deity of God is to deny the truth. And you've made it a lie. To deny that Jesus Christ is the creator of all things, then you're denying God's word. For in John 1 it says, in the beginning was the Word. In John 1:14 it says, and the Word was manifest in the flesh. To deny that God is the one who created everything is to deny the truth, making whatever it is you'd want to make it into a lie. To deny that man has sinned against God is to deny His word, and His word is truth, therefore you make it a lie. We sin because it's our nature. We are in bondage to the very nature of mankind. Are you in Genesis chapter 3? Join me in verse 1 if you would, please. Now the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, you may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They covered themselves for their wickedness. For their wickedness had come up before them. They saw the truth of what they had done. They saw their sin and they were ashamed. And as all mankind tried to do, they tried to fix it themselves. They wrapped fig leaves around themselves and made themselves aprons. They tried to dress their wickedness. That's what works is. Mankind trying to make up for the sin that's in them. All natural men know they're sinners when it comes right down to it. We all know. We all knew before the Lord even showed us. It just wasn't magnified in the way that that the law does. Has there ever been a time in your life where you didn't know that you sinned against God when you look back at things? They tried to fix it themselves, only they could not repair what was done. They could not hide their nakedness by their own doings. They were now bound to the weaknesses of the flesh. And that was now so with all their posterity afterwards. All who came after them, God allowed them their own free will, and flesh overcame itself. This is what we need to be delivered from. We need to be delivered from the bondage of sin, the bondage of the flesh, the bondage of human nature. We rebel against God because it's our nature to do so. And so, because of that, a curse is upon all that God created. Are you with me in Genesis still? Look at verses 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon the belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and the desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, curse it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Who can deliver me? Who can deliver me? This one who has sinned against God. This one who is a sinner of the flesh. This one who is cursed as all the world is. Who can deliver me from this body of death? Who can I call my deliverer? If I try to do it myself, all I'm going to come up with is leaves. Our first glimpse of this one who can is right here in verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. We read in the 9th chapter of Hebrews that there is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. So here in this 21st verse, we see God clothing Adam and Eve with the skins of an animal. Stop and think about that for a moment. Now, God could have very clearly just, okay, boom, here's the skins of an animal. But that's not what he put it there for like that. Obviously, blood had to be shed. The animal had to be skinned. blood was shed right there, and that's our first picture of the blood of Christ being shed for his people. It takes God to clothe us with righteousness. All we have are leaves that will dry up, break, and fall off. They're no good. Blood was shed to cover their nakedness. The works that they did with their own hands was not sufficient. The leaves came up short. Their nakedness was still there. The blood of this animal was not what covered their sins, but it was a picture of the one who would. And this one who covered the sins of his elect, those whom he has loved from everlasting to everlasting, is pictured throughout the Holy Book. In fact, this book from cover to cover is all about this one who covered the sins of his people. Look at chapter 4, verse 1, if you would. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she began, and she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Does not the world hate election? I've shared this with some of you, but I had an aunt. She's gone now. A Christian, so-called. And I really thought she was for many years. She just the sweetest lady I've ever seen in my life. I couldn't say a bad thing about her. And one day I was telling her about a devotional I was going to give on the election of the Lord Jesus, on God's elect. And I saw a woman turn into the ugliest thing I've ever seen and poke me in the chest as if her finger was a knife. And she says, you will not take away my free will. I haven't taken away anything. I don't have the power to do anything. God said, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that will show mercy. He's the potter. He makes those decisions. I can't do anything. I can't even do anything about myself most of the time. The world hates election. They say it's not fair. How dare you? How dare you tell me that I can't make a choice? I'm just telling you what God says. His people are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Everything is for our good to those who love Jesus and are called. God had no respect for Cain because Cain brought an offering with his hands. Something that he had grown out of the ground. Adam and Eve tried to make their own wrappings. Yet it was God who clothed them and covered their nakedness. The blood that was shed from that fatling lamb was the blood, a picture of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Our deliverer. The one and only one who can deliver us from the bondage of this flesh that we have. I know we still sin, we still fight in the flesh, but keep up the good fight. Until the Lord takes us out of this world, we're going to have to fight the flesh. And by His power and by His might, we will succeed. But also by His will, there will be days when we fail. Thank God we have a deliverer. One who has paid the price that we deserve. One who has covered us with His righteousness. Turn over to the book of Exodus, if you would, please. The 12th chapter. Exodus chapter 12. Egypt, a picture of bondage. They had enslaved Israel, God's people, for 400 years. We can't even imagine what that's like. Not a single person here has ever been enslaved as Egypt enslaved Israel. And the Lord spake unto Moses, verse 1, and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door of post of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat of the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Now skip down to verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token, a sign upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. This too is no more than a picture of one whose blood is perfect, the spotless Lamb of God, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, as scriptures call it. God the Father saw His only begotten Son, what He would do, and was confident that He would accomplish it, because it was His desire. God was never pleased with the blood of animals, but He is well pleased with His Son. Those whose names are written in the book of life before a star ever twinkled in the sky, born before the coming of Jesus, looked forward to their deliverer. This is why they displayed the blood. The blood on the post was no more than a token or a sign or a picture of what was to come. Turn over to the 4th chapter of John, if you would. A picture of what was to come. A picture of the deliverer. A picture of the perfect blood of Christ displayed on their doors. And God passed them by over judgment. Judgment was brought upon Egypt, a picture of the world, a picture of natural man, the bondage of sin. Jesus had not come to the Christ yet, as we're going to see here. He is in His ministry. Are you with me in John chapter 4? Look at verse 3. He, speaking of Jesus, left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. There was no, Christ did not come here and say, you know, I think I'm going to go over here today, or I think I'm going to go over there, whatever. No, his exact walk was set in time, before time actually. He came and did everything exactly the way the Father had agreed for it to be done. Every step had a purpose, and every step accomplished something. He must needs go through Samaria. Why? Why must the Christ, the God-man, go through Samaria? Well, here's why. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence thou hast the living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Now go over to verse 25. And the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah is coming. She knows the deliverer is going to come. I know that the Messiah is coming. She's heard. She's heard from the Jews. Now remember, she's a Samaritan. She's not one of the Jews. Somehow the Lord has led his word to get to her ears, hasn't it? Somehow the Lord has allowed preaching to go unto the Samaritans. And she has heard about this one who will deliver his people from their sins, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Verse 26, and Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. The confirmation, this one who is called Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the deliverer. This one who could and would deliver his people from the bondage of their sin. This one whose blood will save to the uttermost. It could because this one is the Son of the living God. He was born of a virgin with the nature of God, the Holy Spirit, not the nature of men. This man is not just a mere man, though. He is one with the Father. He is God in the flesh. He is the God-man, 100% God, 100% man. You see, God humbled himself and he became flesh. He thirsted. He hungered. As we saw here, he thirsted at the well. He hungered. He felt sorrow. He felt pain. He was even tempted, yet without sin. In fact, he rebuked the tempter. Yet how could this one deliver me from my sin? In 2 Corinthians 5:21 it says, for he, God the Father, hath made him my deliverer, my redeemer. How could he redeem me? How could he be my deliverer? How could he take me and deliver me from the sin and the bondage that I have in the flesh? He stood in my place. As he stood in the place of every single one of his people. Our substitute. For he, God the Father, hath made him, God the Son, to be sin for us. God the Son, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Turn over to the 17th chapter, if you would, please. You see, you don't need to turn there, but in the 8th chapter of John, it says, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The blood, remember we said there is no remission of sins without blood. Remember we said that all those pictures that we saw in the Old Testament before the Lord Jesus came to the cross and fulfilled all those pictures. He fulfilled those pictures by shedding his own blood on the cross. By giving his own blood for his people. And if God gave his own blood, will he not get satisfaction from it? Can anything turn the hand of God? If you're worshiping a God who can be turned, then you can't and you don't have a right to call it that imaginary thing God. For the God of Scripture rules everything. That's why we call him God. Anything less is nothing but our imagination. And here in the 17th chapter of John, we're going to read how God prayed for his people. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. His ministry has come to an end here on this world. He's about to go to the cross and give himself for us. He's about to go and sacrifice himself, allow men to beat him. The very ones that he created in their mother's womb are going to whip him with a cat of nine tails. Remember, he's 100% man. He can feel the pain. He can feel the humiliation of those who spat on him, those that he created. Yet, but he had to do it. He had to go to that cross. The blood had to be shed. Yes. And it had to pay the price perfectly, in full. Or otherwise we have no hope. Yes. If only part of our sins were paid for, then what about the rest of our lives? The hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifest thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come out of thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Faith. The ability to believe. That's not our gift to God, that's God's gift to us. We continue to see over and over again how deep the love is that Jesus has for us. How can that not make us swell up at times when we realize how much we don't deserve it? He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Folks, we have a deliverer. If the Lord has given you a heart to know what we are of the flesh, if the Lord has given you the gift to believe his word, then we see what we deserve. And we also see our deliverer who prays for us. What love the Son has for his people. What love the Son has for me. That he would be my deliverer and redeem me. Redeem me from the sin that I have committed. Would you stand with me, please?